Holy cow, folks. If you don't know what that song is, I pity you. It's the intro for Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell. 1977's finest version of orchestral rock you could possibly find. Man, this is some old school stuff here. And it sounds it too, because they never really I don't know if they ever actually put out a remastered version, but God, I wish they had. I'm going to dial this down a bit. If you don't know what this album is, you really need to go find a copy of it. It's done by Meatloaf and a guy named Jim Steinman. They wrote the music together. And it has beautiful artwork on it. It was a fold-out gatefold cover by none other than artist Richard Corbin. Just amazing stuff. Just fantastic art. Big prime heavy metal type stuff back in the day. And that's the thing about Marvin Lee a Day, Meatloaf. He's dead. And I gotta say that a little part of me died with that. I'm a little sad about that. Mostly because Meatloaf was the first, you know, fat artist that I'd ever seen, you know, that did music. That apparently was able to get a date, you know. But here's the thing is that back in the 70s when I was a kid, growing up, I had no idea what this music was about. I didn't discover this music until after I was in high school and later, actually. Yeah, it was like my sophomore year. They came out with Bat Out of Hell 2 and Back into Hell. And that was I was like, wow, that was... Probably 6 years between albums. Him and Jim Steinman apparently had some kind of rift that happened. But anyway, not to put too fine a point on it, it really wasn't until Rocky Horror Picture Show that I realized who I'd been seeing and then the music and, of course, rediscovering all of that. And it does take me back a little bit. I had a cousin that had this album, and then my parents apparently got this album. And I don't know that my dad actually got through the entire album. I know that he tried to listen to it, but it wasn't his thing. It wasn't twangy and country music enough. My mom was one of those people that loved music, but not this sort of thing. So, again, not twangy country enough, not hillbilly enough, you know. So I wasn't exposed to a lot of stuff other than the kind of child abuse that was, between the alcoholism and all the other stuff. There was the other stuff that was musically inclined and musical in nature that was inflicted upon me. Country music being what it is not something you should subject your children to. And you really shouldn't. Not until they're old enough to understand what a Tennessee divorce might entail, like a twister done touchdown and took my old trailer. My ex-wife then got drunk and ran off with a sailor. That's not a real song. I'm just making it up. And that's country music is, you can sum it up pretty easily. It's like, old dogs drinking and losing somebody. And probably your pickup truck. There's a lot of country music songs they revolve around simple things, And there's some guys that have done some riffs on it. I think it's pretty funny, but for me, it's my memories with regards to country music are so varied. I try to avoid most of it if I can help it. Like Willie Nelson, I think he's going to be in my Deadpool this year. I think he's going to be one of the next musical greats to go. I think William Shatner. I think this might be the year we see Shatner leave us. I got to tell you, this is going to be the year that I think that the Grim Reaper starts, collecting those high value trading cards. I do. I'm a little frightened about that because I'm going to lose some really big people. There's going to be a lot of artists, that I know that are going to be factored out, I'm pretty sure. And it's very sad, too, because, you wouldn't believe how many comic book artists out there and pop artists out there that have been around for so long creating art that we've enjoyed all of these decades. And they never get the recognition that they deserve, but you've seen their stuff, you know. And so that's one of the things. You kind of want to appreciate the things that you have while you still have them. So I appreciate some of the things that I have. I still have my sanity for the most part. I had to say goodbye to a vehicle this week. Although I may be having to deal with it again on Monday, depending on a couple of different things. But yeah, this thing stranded me for the last fucking time. And I've decided that it's time to assume the mantle of adulthood and get something with a fucking warranty. Pardon my language, but if you've been stranded in negative 8-degree weather inside of a vehicle with no heat because it won't run, and you know, you're waiting for a tow truck. Yeah, and then you got to spend another 45 minutes to an hour trying to finagle it into your garage. Yeah, that has a way of leaving a mark on you, you know. And so I was kind of done with it. I was done with it the last two times that it stranded me and I had to have it towed home. But this time I was like, you know what? I'm going to set this motherfucker on fire. I didn't. I thought it, though. I was like, I could do this. I could do this and be absolutely fucking blameless. There would be no court in this land that would convict me of arson or any kind of crime because they would be like, this car had it coming. This vehicle was the devil. You know, and it was. It was actually a pretty nice vehicle up until about a year ago, and then it started to start shoveling parts out the window and just started to really cause some fucking problems. So I'm going to go get something with a warranty, and then I'm going to fix the other piece of shit that I've got in my garage. And that one will be my fun vehicle. This one will be my tactical grocery getter and my I will blend seamlessly into society to where I am invisible vehicle. Yes. Although I will say this, though, I did look at a decommissioned squad car today, and I was like, you know, this could actually go pretty well for me. I would love to have something like this and park it on the street in my neighborhood just to watch people go, what the, oh my God, we got 5-0 in the neighborhood? No, it wouldn't be anything like that. They'd be like, oh, that fat white guy over there, he's trying to be somebody he's not. Next thing I know, I've got the cops on my doorstep. Hey, are you trying to be a cop? I'm like, fuck no. I wouldn't want to have your job if my life depended on it. Plus, I didn't have to go to school to be an asshole. I came by this way naturally. So, you know, I mean, we're all friends here, right? You know, I got donuts. No, all kidding aside, though, that's the last kind of shit I would need. Unless I was buying it, it was actually completely decommissioned with none of the lights on it. This one has all of the lights on it and everything. Even the markings are on it, too. So this would have been a vehicle for, it would have been a great prop vehicle if you wanted to do like a movie. And, you know, and then of course, you know, get your permits and stuff like that, but drive this this vehicle as part of a like a film or something like that. It'd be great, a great prop vehicle to have. But in all honesty, I don't know. I don't yeah, a lot of temptation there to be like, sure, you know why I pulled you over? You know? Kind of a shit like that, you know. So, what else is new and exciting? Well, I upgraded. Well, I didn't upgrade anything. I updated my website to reflect that I have another website for the podcast. I have a primary website where I do all my art, or I should say, where I have a lot of my art that I show. And I'm going to be doing some art and putting up some videos and some tutorials and how to do some neat stuff and all of that kind of crap. And, you know, and I'm not monetizing any of it because I figure, you know, who really is going to pay for my time? I already got people that want everything I've got for free anyway. So, you know, just might as well just, you know, throw my knowledge out there too. If it helps somebody, hey, great. I don't care. You know, I'm doing this for me anyway. You know, I don't do art for other people. I do it for me. And if I get paid, hey, that's bonus. But other than that, I don't have a desire to work on anybody else's projects or work with other people's characters or kiss anybody's ass. I'm done with all of that shit. I have been done with that for about 15 years now. So I'm doing pretty good. that being said, I was getting a ton of hits out of the blue for my podcast. People, I mean, like all of a sudden I was like getting like, I had like 17 listens. And I'm like, 17? Wow, that's better than 4. You know, why are all these people tuning into my podcast for absolutely no reason whatsoever? And then I thought, well, maybe it's because it's linked to my primary website. So I took the link down for like a month. And then I noticed everything just dropped off. Boom! I was back down to 4 people. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll just put the link back up and see how many people actually are listening to the podcast from my primary website. And hopefully, you know, if you're one of those people that it's listening for whatever reason, schadenfreudism or whatever. I hope you're enjoying yourself. I do. Because, you know, you don't have any power over me. I've got power over you because here you are listening to my podcast. Who's the egomaniac now? Huh? Huh? God. Anyway. Oh my God, this I gotta tell you, this week has been something though. This weather has been ridiculous. For all this talk about global fucking warming, it's -8 here in Minnesota. Perhaps spread your lies and bullshit about climate change elsewhere. We are experiencing none of that here in Minnesota. Just saying. Keep your bullshit to yourself. You want to talk about how warm it is elsewhere. Other places are great, except that nobody else is experiencing. And then I just saw this article how the Earth's core is cooling quicker than we expected. And I'm like, oh, well, look at that. It's all part of that whole Maunder minimum. Wow, who'd have thunk it? Anyway, not that I'm a genius or anything, although I am. I'm probably like a sub genius. I'm like super smart, but not as smart as like, you know, rocket science smart. I'm like, you know, one step above clever, but 2 steps below genius. I don't know where that is, you know, savant perhaps. I don't know. I'm having one of them days, folks, where I'm having that realization that now that I don't have this oppression of the Jeep kind lording over me, waiting to pounce and to destroy both my economic and emotional and intellectual budgets, I will be free to pursue art again and to write again and not have shit hanging over me that would normally drive me insane. Or more insane. Freedom. Profligacy, as they say. That's a big word. That's like a $10 word. Profligacy. You have to look that one up. I did. I had to look it up a long time ago, back in the 90s. A friend of mine, Darren Wagner, he threw that at me one day. Profligacy. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I thought I was fairly intelligent. Well, I see that Darren is smarter than me here. I guess I, too, will have to read a book. No, he's a good guy. I've got nothing but good things to say about people like that, especially a lot of my writer friends. I have some fantastic writer friends who are very, 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 very talented, who are producing books and getting stuff out the door, whereas I am struggling because I have far too many distractions. But now with this one distraction gone, I can find 15 more to occupy its space. No, actually, I'm going to work exclusively on a book. Get it out there. I should finish editing this book, and then I will be done. And by edit, I mean let someone else read it, let someone else find the typos, let someone else find all my grammatical errors, correct them for me, and then publish this book. That's what I'm going to do. So that's, I'm actually going to do that. I've much like fixing the Jeep Cherokee, that is no longer my problem. I'm going to pay someone else, dare I say it, to edit my book. Actually, it's books, plural. Rather than just sit there and have to reread my stuff over again and go, God, that sounds stupid. Why would anybody buy this book? And then self-doubt, and then self-destruct, and then like have, you know, like an L. Ron Hubbard-sized novel just waiting to come out posthumously. When somebody's like, hey, this dude wrote like 44 books and never published any of them. Look at this. Let's publish them now. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, if I'd only known that I was going to be a bestseller someday when I'm dead. Which is probably about par for the course anyway. That's the only time people actually become relevant. Meatloaf, he just died. He's going to be relevant for about a week and a half, and then he's going to be gone off the radar. People will watch, probably binge watch Rocky Horror Picture Show, and probably buy Bat Out of Hell. And then, like a bat out of hell, his music will be gone from iTunes. And then, he'll go into the obscurity pile that will manifest someday when the boomer generation needs to sell some auto insurance or something. That's typically when, you know, it's like, have you noticed that car dealers, you know, the car manufacturers are using newer music? That's not your imagination. You're the demographic that's buying new cars. It's when you start hearing Metallica and Run DMC, you know that you are the old people buying cars and driving the economy. Yep. Sir Mix-a-Lot. When you start hearing that, I like big butts and I cannot lie. When you hear that song being played, you're the 80-year-old guy in the walker that's probably going to be buying a wheelchair lift accessible van. That's going to be your target market. Because your butt is going to be big and it's going to be in a wheelchair or a hover around or something like that. I guarantee it. That's the kind of shit that you can expect someday. You're going to get old, you're going to get ugly, and things like that are going to happen to you. Like, I remember this song when I was, oh my God, it's me they're trying to sell this product to. Well, who knew that Like a Rock was going to move so many pills of Viagra? Look at that. Color me amazed. That was probably inappropriate. Although I'm laughing at my own jokes, I still have my own sense of humor, so that's good. I haven't lost my mind, although I could have earlier this week. Nothing new and exciting in the real world as far as, like, you know, well, I mean, here's the thing, right? They say that celebrities die in threes, right? So you had Meatloaf die, and you had Louis Anderson, St. Paul native, comedian. He's gone. You know, he did Family Feud. He did a lot of other stuff. He did Life with Louis, this little cartoon back in the early 90s. He's a funny guy, you know, pretty funny. And now he's dead and gone. And then this other guy, he's this blew me away. This one actually floored me because, for one, I couldn't pronounce his name. And two, I knew who he was every time I saw his face, but I didn't know his name. And I knew what he stood for because he was part of the whole mindfulness movie. Or movement, not movie, movement. His name is Thich, T-H-I-C-H, so it could be T or Teach, not Han, N-H-A-T-H-A-N-H. Now, I know I'm butchering that guy's name, and I apologize. I don't speak either Thai, Laotian, or Vietnamese, but, you know, this is a guy who actually did some beautiful stuff in the world. And this guy, at the age of 95, he had a stroke apparently some years ago, and it rendered him unable to speak. And it probably, you know, it probably meant that his life probably got a lot better because he didn't have to talk to anybody. But anyway, they thought he was going to die back then, but he didn't. And he was actually one of the main people that really brought that whole mindfulness thing to the fore. And you know, good for you for the last 20 years being a positive influence on this planet of ours, you know. But anyway, you know, there's three of them right there, you know. Betty White, she started the chain reaction. She died. You know, it's just crazy, you know. But the one nice thing about Meatloaf, and actually the two nice things about it, is that one, he says, if I get COVID, I get COVID and I die. I'm terribly afraid of it, but, you know, shit happens. I'm not going to be controlled. And I give the man props for that because, you know, I can understand that. I can totally identify with that. And the fact that he had a blood feud with Greta Thunberg, that also to me is, man, I just wish that someone would have invited Greta Thunberg to one of his concerts, and then he could have singled her out for showing up. That would have been perfect. Could you imagine Meatloaf, you know, look at Greta Thunberg, you little trifling whore. You know, just, I mean, that would be funny as hell. I can't stand her because she's such a drama queen. Not that I wouldn't know anything a little bit about that myself, but it's just like, come on, seriously? Your world isn't falling apart because, you know, you're not getting what you want. No. If there's anyone that can tell you, as a child of the 70s, 60s and 70s, because I was born in 69, and I grew up through the 70s, through the 80s, you know, through the large portion of the Cold War, we didn't die in a nuclear holocaust, you're welcome. We learned how to duck and cover, just like everyone else. And but here's the thing, is that we all thought the end of the world was coming. For my first 25 years on this planet, brainwashing, you know, I would have believed that tomorrow the nukes were coming and the Russians were going to be on my doorstep. That's all I ever heard out of everybody, including my father, who was probably the biggest Russophobe ever, you know. And oddly enough, he votes Democrat. He probably will when he's dead too, because nothing stops it. Nothing stops that machine from running. But anyway, long story short, knowing what I know and having lived on this planet for 53 years, there's a thing called posturing and saber rattling. And if you've seen enough of it, you're suddenly going, oh, I see what the game is here. This is what they call, you know, basically, you know, pissing on each other's pant legs here. People are rattling sabers in order to gin up, you know, the war machine, the fear, because, you know, we need to frighten each other in order to know and understand each other. It's like, come on, you know. And all of a sudden, Ukraine's like the most important place on earth, and it's probably because, you know, there's so many Democrats with their kids that have jobs in Ukraine right now. They don't want to stop that money machine from, you know, drying up. It's just, it all boils down to this. If there's a country on the planet that suddenly needs our attention, that means somebody here in this country has a vested interest in it. That's the truth. You know, and so really what's Ukraine got that we don't have here in America? Because we've got plenty of corruption. We don't need any more. I mean, there are some attractive women, I guess, in Ukraine. They make some cool video games in Ukraine. They got plenty of Russian, military equipment you can get for next to nothing if you know the right pizza delivery driver. I guess the question that begs to be asked is, why all this drama? Why now? Could it be that, we need to distract everybody from COVID because everyone else is going off that whole COVID thing? They're dumping it like Ireland did. Scotland's dumping it. The UK's dumping it. Parts of Europe are saying, we're not dealing with this COVID nonsense anymore. But yet they're doubling down here in the United States, especially here in the state of Minnesota. They're just fucking ratcheting up the fear as much as they possibly can. So deep down inside, the only thing I can tell Greta Thunberg about the end of the world, it's not going to happen on your watch. It's just not. The world is an amazing thing. It spins, whether you're alive or dead. The world continues. You are not going to see the end of this world. You're not going to see climate change destroy cities. And the reason why is because if the cities on the earth were going to be destroyed by massive floods and tidal waves and all this other bullshit caused by melting ice caps, the bankers would have already fucking done something about it. That's how you know. Oh, you know, you've got real estate on Cape Cod. You got real estate in next to Walt Disney World in Florida and California. You know, we got all these beachfront properties and the Palisades and all that other stuff all over the coasts of Oregon, Washington State, Florida, Texas. You're telling me that all those beach houses and stuff like that, they're all going to be underwater someday? I can tell you who's going to know that before anybody. It's going to be the banks. Because guess what? They make a lot of money off of that. And if all of a sudden we're going to have climate change and they're going to lose a lot of money, sorry, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. It's just like oil drilling and all that other bullshit. It's never going to stop. That's the reason why Greta Thunberg and people who think the way that she do are, they're deluding themselves. Because who do you think actually helps drive up those prices for oil and gas? Just out of curiosity. Do you think the oil companies are out there going, we can't really beg the American people for any more money because we're already being subsidized. But if we shut down some refineries because we've got political activism that we're supporting and funding, well, you know, who's to say we couldn't have $5 a gallon gasoline, you know, when we've got a glut of it waiting to be refined? See, that's the thing about these global warming types. They have absolutely no idea how the world really works. And that's the funny thing, too, is that when I was a kid, I didn't know either. And then the world showed me how it worked. And then all of a sudden, it made perfect sense. You know, it's not that the adults are not in charge. It's just that they're all psychopaths, and they're selfish, and they're all in it for themselves. They're not in it for the betterment of humanity. They're in it for the betterment of their wallet. They think that they alone, their genetics, should be the only thing living on this planet because they view themselves as apex predators, and they are. They're very good at what they do. It's just that one day, when people start to understand that money is nothing and you can't eat it anymore, you can't eat gold, you can't eat silver, you can't eat anything that's inorganic, you have to learn how to feed yourself, clothe yourself, fish, hunt, that sort of thing, in order to survive in the world, all of a sudden those assholes that have sat around and done nothing for, well, generations, thousands of years, they have no purpose in this world. We just need to wait for the right cataclysm, and the social upheaval will take care of this problem, and we'll wipe that all off the face of the earth. You just gotta wait, Greta. The wrong people have to start dying in order for the right people to start dying. And then you'll have the perfect world you want to live in. Little mud huts for everybody and burning down half the forest. But anyway, enough about that education. Have you ever wanted to buy a drone and then, you know, you realize that that $1,000 investment is probably just something stupid and frivolous? That's the thing I've been fighting with, too, because I have to replace a car. And yet, at the same time, I think to myself, you know what would really make me happy? A drone. Which tells me that COVID's done some damage to my impulse control again. But I'm getting there. I'm not making stupid decisions. I'm just making the right ones and then grumbling about it. I don't have money for what I want. But that's because, you know, I'm a responsible adult. And every responsible adult has money that they have to pay their bills with and has just a certain amount of mad money that they can either stockpile and save for something really good and stupid, or they can spend it immediately in order to reward themselves for grinding out another week of productivity. most people do that. They don't have the impulse control to wait and build up something and save for it. But anyway, poor Adele. I worry about her too. I do. Apparently she had to cancel her residency in Las Vegas. So sad. And you know the worst part about it is? There's nothing wrong with her. She's an attractive woman. And, you know, she had a boyfriend that dumped her before she was even 30, you know? And, you know, she got skinny. She got really attractive. And it's like nobody will want to even talk to her. And then she's terrified of COVID. It's very, very sad. You know what the worst part about COVID is? Is that it really did not do what I expected that it would. It did not produce the zombie apocalypse that I was told was going to happen. And it did create a legion of Karens, though. That it did, you know, Karens and Kens. You should wear a mask. You know what? You should definitely wear a mask. You're pretty homely. I went through this entire thing without wearing a mask. And I caught COVID from somebody who was wearing a mask. When they delivered my fucking pizza. Just saying. It's like you have the flu. It's in the form of a bullet. And it's just waiting to hit you. And then whether or not that bullet kills you, it's how well prepared you are. I was taking a battery of supplements. I still am. And And I'm not going to lie, folks. I'm not going to lie. I bought 2 tubes of apple-flavored ivermectin for horses. And as I checked out at Fleet Farm, the lady asked me, "So, do you have a sick pony at home?" I'm like, "In a manner of speaking, yes." "Oh, really? How many?" "Just the one." And then she noticed that I was buying Twinkies. "What are these for?" I said, "Well, if you're going to take the ivermectin, you might as well have a way of delivering it that no one's gonna argue about." "So your horse likes Twinkies?" "I don't have any horses." And then all of a sudden it was like, "Oh, you're one of those people." I'm like, "Yes, I'm one of those people. But I got to tell you this much. See, eating horse paste, if you inject it into a Twinkie, you can cram that Twinkie in your mouth and barely even notice that you are eating apple-flavored horse paste ivermectin. You're welcome, America. I have found the perfect delivery system. And if you can find cinnamon Twinkies, even better, because then it becomes like an apple pie thing. Cinnamon caramel would be even. You know what? Here's what I would recommend. Sour apple flavored ivermectin out of the tube. You put about 300, 400 milligrams. I don't know how much it is, but all I know is that, you know, a tube is for a big horse. I can break the tube down because I know how much I weigh compared to a horse. And you do some math, you break down and then you figure out, okay, well, this is how much I need to inject into a Twinkie. And then what you do is you get some caramel sauce and you inject that into the Twinkie. And if you can, get the cinnamon Twinkies, because I know that they still make them. And then just cram that down your throat as fast as you can, maybe with some coffee, wash it down, brush your teeth afterwards, because sometimes that ivermectin has this kind of a consistency thing. But it's really not that bad once you start doing it a couple of times. You know, it hasn't affected me in the least, you know. You know, no, I'm just kidding. It hasn't affected me. It hasn't affected me at all, or it hasn't had the desired effect of making parts of me more like a horse. So, I don't know. Is it a win? Well, I can tell you this much. I don't feel as sick as I once did. So I got to tell you, perhaps as a prophylactic or maybe as a means to help defeat COVID, at any stage, ivermectin works. That's all I have to say about that. Joe Rogan took the tablet kind. I took the horsey paste. Now, there's a complete fucking difference here. See, I have a doctor that says, I would not recommend you take ivermectin because you're not an animal. I'm like, oh, really? That's not what I was called the other day. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know? Uh-huh. Yeah? Huh? Huh? Nah, he's a communist. You're going to take this petrochemical medicine just like everyone else. You're going to get the vaccine, right? Fuck that noise. That's for idiots. No, I'm going to have horse paste and I'm going to use Twinkies to deliver it. How do you think about that? See, I may not be rocket scientist genius, but I am a genius. You betcha. You know, and the worst part about it is that one of these days, I'm going to be just fine. This ivermectin thing is going to be just, it's not even, I'm fine. You know, I mean, sure, you know, I mean, it sounds a little strange, but you know, you can take this stuff. It's not going to kill you. You know, as long as you read the instructions and are a fucking moron, you know, let's see here. If a horse weighs 1,300 pounds and I weigh 200 pounds and this whole fucking tube goes into a 1,300 pound horse, how much do I need to break this down if I weigh 200 pounds? Well, you see here, if you have a 1,200 pound horse and there's basically six doses for you at 200 pounds. So you break the dosage down to, you know, it's not that goddamn hard to do the simple math that it takes to figure out how. I have a friend, I actually have a very close friend who's also, he's like, the minute I get COVID, dude, I'm so going to be using this stuff. I'm like, perfect. I got it. And I had to use it. And I got to tell you, this is my delivery system. And he goes, dude, that's fucking brilliant. And then he was the one that actually clued me up to the math. I said, I'm just a little concerned about how much of this I'm supposed to use. Well, this is how much you need. I'm like, well, shit, that's barely enough to fill a Twinkie. You know, and that's really what it was. I mean, I barely even noticed it. The Twinkie left more of a mark on me than anything else. As much as I don't mind Twinkies. Twinkies are great. But I will say this, though. If you throw some cinnamon on a Twinkie, you know, because it's sticky anyway. You throw some cinnamon on there, light dusting, maybe with some powdered sugar, and you fill it full of apple-flavored ivermectin. It's a delivery you cannot fucking beat. It's awesome. You got those three holes right in the top of the Twinkie, too. You just... And just, or if you can just stick it in the one end and go, and then just cram it in, you're done. One Twinkie and done, you know, with ivermectin. I know this will probably get me roasted alive and people will be like, are you fucking kidding? But, you know, that's the thing about comedy. And it's also a thing about real life is that sometimes you're forced to make choices. And in my case, I didn't want somebody telling me what I should do for my health. I want to experiment like my ancestors did. I want to live life dangerously. I want to take chances. I want to live a life less ordinary. And you know what? What's the worst that could happen, really? Sure, I could become a statistic. I could be the laughing stock of some internet, you know, thing. You know, I could be mocked, you know, in the media for how did I beat COVID? Well, I ate a box of Twinkies laced with ivermectin, the sour apple flavor with, and I used some cinnamon to church it up, and you know, and then see, here's the best part. This would be the best part, right? I would be on TV, and I would say, hey. Are you afraid to know that I might be right or I might be onto something? Are you afraid to try this? And see, then you got them. You know, it's like, I wouldn't eat that Twinkie. Oh, so you're a Twinkie phobe, are you? When did you start hating Twinkies? God, they're as American as anything else. The Hostess Company's done nothing but good things for America. Who are you to hate them? See, then you've got them over a barrel. Then they got to take the Twinkie with the ivermectin and then, you know, then pretend that they don't like it. And then it's all lies from here on out. Then you got Sanjay Gupta saying, you know, there are unhealthier things that you could put in your mouth other than ivermectin, starting with that Twinkie. You know, and see, I would much rather have that sort of thing happen on TV than what happened to Joe Rogan. Because here's the thing, is that Joe Rogan actually went to a real doctor who wasn't a communist, who set him up with the right battery of medications that were right for Joe, and he did just fine. Oddly enough, one Twinkie later with ivermectin, and I feel much better than I did 3 days ago when I did the last podcast. If you've noticed, I haven't coughed. I haven't been, horking up a bunch of crap. I'm not having any real issues here. I'm not tired. You know, and that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, you're going to tell me that the shit doesn't work. And you're going to tell me that that horse paste is going to kill you. Well, trust me, it didn't. Twinkies will kill me far fucking faster than this ivermectin will. Plus, here's the thing. It's got a resealable cap. You can just, you know, Twinkie. And, you know, I know that somebody out there is probably like, this dude is so full of shit. I'm absolutely serious. And I'm thinking about doing a TikTok challenge, you know, just like, you know, watching, just make a video of me like, hey, I'm just going to make myself some ivermectin Twinkies, boop, 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 you know, and then be like, hey, you want to try an apple flavored Twinkie, kid? Yeah. Suddenly my cough is gone. Just imagine how people would react to that fucking challenge. And next thing you know, I've beaten COVID using nothing more than Twinkies and over-the-counter frickin' vet clinic medications for horses. You know, and that's the kicker, is that America used to be full of fucking brainiacs that were geniuses that could find simple solutions to complicated problems, because that's what America is about. America is about standing up, solving problems, no matter how ridiculous the solution may sound. If it fucking works, we do it. That's what America's about. And we've forgotten that. And it's tragic, because here I am. I'm a 53-year-old man with a non-monetized podcast. I'm doing this purely for the fuck of it, for the fun of it, to enjoy myself, to entertain people, and maybe dispense some of my own crazy or whatever. And I'm not selling you anything. I'm just telling you that there are some different ideas that other people might have that are probably just as viable as anything else. And hey, you know, if you have a Twinkie allergy, hey, I'm sorry. Or if you have an ivermectin allergy, I'm sorry, you know, in advance. But don't listen to me, and definitely don't listen to me for medical advice. I'm just telling you, if you've got this idea in your head that you want to try using horse paste, you need to find the right delivery system. Because if you're one of those people that put something in your mouth and you go, hey, I don't think this is a good idea, then you need to find a way to make it work. And I'm saying that Twinkies, that's how you beat the gatekeeper. That's how you beat the gag reflex, especially when it comes to this horsey paste stuff. But I will say the apple flavor, somebody in the vet world obviously cared enough about horses to make sure that the stuff tasted like apple, because it really did. It was like a Jolly Rancher mixed with apple taffy. It was really good, along with the Twinkie. But on that note, you've listened to this show for 45 minutes, and your reward is now I'm going to release you back into your own reality. So I hope you have a fantastic week. I'll be back in on Wednesday with new cooking ideas and how to probably, you know, use goldfish antibiotics to beat the common cold. No, all kidding aside, though, I hope you have a fantastic weekend and enjoy yourselves, because I might be the only person that says, hey, you be you, be happy. Good night, everybody. Take care.